Praise the Lord! 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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Well, that's the message. I guess we can go now. Except the Lord has things to say to us that matter to Him. In the book of Psalms, there is this wonderful progression, which, on the one hand, is a progression of the divine revelation in miniature that represents the entire Bible, because Psalms is a miniature of the whole Scripture. On the other hand, this progressive revelation shows the advance of the Lord's recovery. The Lord really needs to turn His loving seekers from religion, from the law, to Christ Himself. The wonderful, all-inclusive Christ. And we need to enjoy this Christ, to experience Him, to have a personal and affectionate relationship with Him, to receive His love and care for us so that we can love Him and love one another in Him for the church. And then this Christ, to whom we are being recovered, will show us that He has an enlargement. He wants a corporate expression that's real yet practical on the earth today. And that is the church as the house of God. And in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ, we live where God lives, in the church as His house. And there we drink of the river of His pleasures. We're abundantly satisfied with the fatness of His house. We discover the fountain of life. In His light, we see light. Now we are in the first stage of the church as God's building, His house. But the house must be strengthened, deepened, to be the city, the kingdom. And a word was released in the summer concerning this great need and desire in God for the church everywhere to be not only the house, but the city, where the unique headship of Christ is honored and we are built up as an unshakable kingdom. It is through the church as the city that the earth will be recovered. We absolutely, to carry out the Lord's commission, must disciple the nations, making them kingdom people, immersing them into the triune God, teaching them to observe all that the Lord has commanded us, then establishing them as local churches. But unless we reach the stage of the city, the Lord whose word is ringing in us, I shall return, will not return yet. God in Christ will turn the earth to the Lord through the church as the city of God. When the earth is recovered, this will be the greatest dispensational change the earth has ever seen, where now the Lord of glory, the possessor of heaven and earth, will take possession of the entire earth. I wish we had a map of the world here, from Greenland to Patagonia, from California to Catalonia, from Boston to Beijing, from Reykjavik to New Zealand, from Morocco to Pretoria. He's getting the whole earth. Every part of it. Now, message 12 has this title, Offering the Consummate Praise to God for the Recovery of Christ, the House, the City, and the Earth. The expression consummate praise indicates that this is praise at the highest, fullest level. This is ultimate praise, total praise, universal praise. Everything that has breath will praise the Lord. How these breathing beings will express their praise, we'll have to just wait and see. And this message will speak of offering consummate praise to God. That this is our service, to offer this praise to Him. The expression consummate praise indicates there is praise that leads up to this. It doesn't just spring forth in a moment of joy or ecstasy. There is a process that is leading up to this. Eventually, all limitations are broken through, and the ultimate, consummate praise ascends. And I would suggest that the title indicates progression in praise toward consummate praise. When something of Christ is really recovered to you, and in you, and with you, there will be praise. Whenever you see something new and fresh of Christ, whenever He cares for you in a particular way, you will praise Him. I got a text this morning from a saint who sent me a text yesterday morning. The difference between the two was death and life. And the Lord came to her situation unexpectedly, yet concretely. And all she could do was to kneel down and worship and thank and praise the Lord. Amen. So we should all expect to have more of Christ recovered to us and in us and with us, and our new creation being the mingled spirit, to some extent, will just praise Him. We're just so happy, we're so thankful that Christ is my Christ in this matter. Then when we participate in the recovery of the house with the impartial love for all the members of the household, the mutual pursuit of God's purpose, the joy of meeting together, fellowshipping together, serving together, suffering together, then the praise is expanded and deepened. Now there's praise in the house. Now we're touching Bethel. And God is the God of the house of God to us. And our praise is uplifted. Then the Lord will recover the city. This will be a costlier experience, something solid, unshakable, something altogether in resurrection life. We will sense the reigning presence of the Lord of glory. We will be living more and more in the reality of the kingdom, under the shining of His face. We will just treasure being in the kingdom of the Son of God's love, where there's no fear, no human control, but the Lord's delightful rule in love, life, and light. Then this will deepen, uplift, and expand our praise. But all of this is heading toward a glorious day when the Christ we have experienced in these three stages now knows the body has been built up sufficiently and the bride is ready. So He comes, the man-child will be resurrected and raptured, the first fruits will be raptured, and will stand before God on Zion. Yes. Then the overcomers will descend with Him, where He claims His title right to the entire earth. Yes. Then the praise will be consummate. This is how praise develops in the Psalms. I told the Lord, I'm simply an open vessel tonight. However you want to have the meeting, however you would direct the meeting, I'm aware of a particular burden for our future, so that we don't simply have an enjoyable moment of transcendent praise. But there is light on our path that will guide us until when? Until a certain star appears. First, the morning star rises in our hearts. And then we see the morning star. So let's begin to work through the outline. I'm aware of the time limitation for the sake of our coordination, and I'm very happy with it. Resting. Romans 1. Praise is the highest work carried out by God's children. The crucial points here, I am happy to tell you, are drawn from this little purple booklet, purple the color of royalty, entitled Praising. I wish I could really make an assignment, but the training will end in less than 2 hours, and then I have no way to enforce it. Otherwise, I would assign all the trainees to read this as before the summer training and send me an email that simply says, "Praise the Lord, I did it." But that is not an official assignment. But if you're touched by what is in my heart, I think lots of you will do it. And this message on praising was a message given for new believers. So when I reread it some months ago in preparing the outline, I just had to be at least in part a beginner, a learner. So don't be ashamed to read a message for beginners. It's quite wonderful. The highest expression of a saint's spiritual life is his praise to God. This is the highest. The Christian life soars through praises. And you can recognize the scripture reference, Acts 16, right? You know what's going on. Two apostles beaten, their wounds unattended, thrown into prison, put into stocks. That's the reception they got. That was their reaction. They cast out a demon, and the owners thought, "Oh, this is the collapse of our business. We cannot earn money from this woman with a divining spirit." And so there they are. It's at midnight, and their spirits are soaring through praise. That's why I express again, if ever I'm in this situation, I hope Brother Dick Taylor is in the stock right next to me. Brother Dick, I'm your neighbor now. Okay, will you help me? You are my hallelujah brother. They were praising. They were not calling judgment down on those ones. They were not moaning. And the prisoners were listening to them. To praise is to transcend everything to touch the Lord. In the coming year that begins in a little over 4 hours in this time zone, in the 366, we get a bonus, right? There will be a lot of things we will need to transcend. And one by one, we will discover that in certain situations, the only way out, the only way through, is through praise. When we touch this, we will take an important step. A step from praising when we're in the mood. We're in the mood for whatever reason. We're just in a good mood. So we're just upbeat. So it's just one hallelujah after another. Mainly emotional. Or some surprising benefit has come to us. Wow, I made a mistake on my income tax, and I got $2,000 more back. Praise the Lord. God is sovereign. Well, you don't need to transcend. You're already bubbling in your natural life. But some of us need to open the way for others of us by learning to transcend everything by praise. Spiritual victory does not depend on warfare. It depends on praise. And here are a few verses from 2 Chronicles 22, starting at verse 20. And they rose up early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Jehovah your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them to sing to Jehovah and give thanks in holy array as they went out before the army and say, "Give thanks to Jehovah, for his loving kindness endures forever." And when they began to shout in song and to praise, Jehovah sent ambushes for the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. This is how they fought. Earlier in this chapter, the king took the lead to say, "O Jehovah, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are set on you." If your eyes are set on the enemy, if your eyes are set on yourself, if your eyes are set on your circumstances, if your eyes are set on your behavior, there'll be no praise. But how good to be able to say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this situation, but my eyes are set on you. And as I set my eyes on you, there's just something rising up within me to say, hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord." Amen. Then the victory comes. We need to see that God is above everything and that he is worthy of praise. Let me read these verses. See if you can recognize where they're from. Are they from Revelation? Book of Revelation? Let's see. "You are blessed, O Jehovah, our Father, from eternity to eternity. Yours is the greatness and the power and the splendor and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. O Jehovah is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." Just like you thought, 1 Chronicles 29. Piece of cake, right? This is David. And David blessed Jehovah in the sight of all the assembly. And David, this is the king taking the lead. "You are blessed, O Jehovah. Yours is the greatness and the power and the splendor and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, all that is in heaven and on earth, yours, O Jehovah, is the kingdom." We need to be trained to see this. Only the Lord in his foreknowledge knows what we will experience in 2012. What kind of situations we'll be in. Will he have to just wait for praise to come? Waiting for us to feel better, waiting for us to be healthier, waiting for us to get a job? Or will some of us praise simply because we see that God is above everything? And here I would mention quickly, because we need to go on, the four dimensions of praise, or if you prefer, four levels of praise. And they're all necessary and they're all valid. First, on the first level, and this is ascending, we praise the Lord for what He gives. He gives us something spiritual. Even in His care for us, He gives us something practical. Shouldn't you praise the Lord for giving you a beloved sister whom you love and who loves you? And you sense the Lord is bringing you together and your courtship is blessed? What could be more precious than for the Lord to give you a counterpart? Surely you would praise Him. Don't be super and say, well, this is not quite transcendent enough. Once you marry her, you'll have lots of opportunities to transcend stuff. For whatever He gives. May our young people be saved from this thankless generation, with this feeling of entitlement, to thank the Lord for what He gives. Then we praise the Lord for what He does. He takes action. Much of what He does is hidden. We're not aware. It becomes manifest. Surely He deserves praise. And if He did something to us at a cost to another member of the body, we should surely praise. Then we ascend higher to praise the Lord for what He is. In John 11, the Lord was living the resurrection life when He heard that Lazarus was sick. He didn't do anything. Even the sisters, a little manipulation. Lazarus, whom you love, is ill. You love him. He's ill. And the assumption is the Lord would just come quickly and intervene. But He doesn't. And when He gets there, here comes the opinion, Lord, if you had been here, if you had only come in time, now it's too late, he would not have died. We want you to be the God of prevention. And He wants to be the God of resurrection. Now, don't try to be a hero after hearing this. When Paul had the thorn, he didn't say, I got a thorn. Enemy, is that the biggest thorn you got? Come on, bring it on, man. Bring it on. I'm one tough, overcoming God man here. Come on, only one? Come on. No, he prayed, Lord, take it away. 3 times. Well, Mary, Martha, they're focused on what the Lord might do. We mentioned this in passing somewhat. What the Lord does is based upon what He is. You may want Him to raise someone from the dead. And He will do that eventually. But He wants you to realize what He is. And to treasure what He is above what He does. if you are ill and he heals you, you will praise him. You will thank him. You will testify of him. But what if he doesn't heal you? Rather, he would be health to you. Will that elicit praise? You have to overcome that part of yourself that wants things done for you. You value more what the Lord does for you than what he is to you. But we will all grow. We're not going to remain little guys forever. And our spiritual value will develop. And we'll just praise the Lord for what he is. And this is unlimited. Lord, you're the shepherd. I praise you for being the shepherd, not only for your shepherding. But there's another level we need to be brought up to. We praise the Lord not only for what he gives, for what he does, and for what he is, but we praise him simply that he is. He is. We can somehow relate to this humanly. Aren't you glad that certain people, they're just alive? They just are. They're simple. Their mere existence is a blessing to you. They don't have to give you anything. They don't have to do anything. Even they don't have to be something particular to you. You just are so thankful that they are. And actually, the deepest loss is when they're not here. The Hallelujah Psalms speak of Jehovah. Jehovah is I am. Oh, to praise him as the self-existing, ever-existing God. Okay, we must go on. Exodus 15, 1-18 is a song of praise to God for his salvation and his victory, leading to God's habitation and God's kingdom. This, I believe, is the first record of praise in the Bible. So it establishes the principle of praise, which is to praise the Lord for his victory and for his salvation, which are leading us to his dwelling place and his kingdom. Here are just a few verses from Exodus 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to Jehovah and spoke, saying, I will sing to Jehovah, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has cast into the sea. Yah is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. How we will praise him when we see Satan bound and thrown into the abyss. I'm looking forward to that day. He's going to be so angry when he's cast down to the earth. And the man child may say, now you're on the earth and we're coming to get you. We're coming to the earth to get you. And you'll be bound. We will praise the Lord for this tremendous victory. Another verse, verse 13. In your loving kindness, you have led the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Verse 17, you will bring them and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Jehovah, which you have made for your dwelling. And then finally, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established, Jehovah shall reign forever and ever. One reason the praise ascends in the church as the city of God is the reality of His reigning in you. Outwardly, the earth will rejoice when He is reigning. But we are living in the reality of the kingdom. And just to be under His direct rule in love, light, and life is so endearing, so precious. Deep praises rise up in us for our indwelling King. Salvation is related to God's people and victory to His enemy. At the same time God defeated the enemy, He also saved His people. Exodus 15:13 speaks of God's habitation, even though the temple as God's dwelling place was not built until centuries later. Verse 18 refers to the kingdom. Jehovah shall reign forever and ever. God's habitation, God's house, brings in God's kingdom, God's reign. Today the church is first God's house and then His kingdom. The church brings the kingdom to earth. Exodus 15:1-18 indicates that the goal of God's salvation is the building of His dwelling place, for the establishing of His kingdom, and for this we, like Moses and the children of Israel, should praise the Lord. We praise the Lord before we see it, when we touch the vision of it, when we touch the reality of it. Now we come directly to the Psalms. The book of Psalms is a book of praise. In the Psalms, we find the greatest and highest praise. Then under A, the following verses reveal crucial aspects of praise in the Psalms. And let me insert here tenderly, because this may touch you. And we need to be touched, but not in a way that will turn you inward, but in a way that will turn you to the Lord. Okay? This is December 31st. How many days this year did you praise the Lord personally? How many days? We're not going to ask for anything outward. Can you look into the Lord's face and say, thank you for your grace that I praised you every day this year? Actually, this is not easy for us to say. For the most part, this is just a fact. Okay? It's not a judgment. Our praise mainly comes forth in certain uplifted gatherings. And that's wonderful. But it may not characterize our being with the Lord and our life with the Lord. But the psalmists did live this way. Many of them. And I can't expound all of these verses. I'll just comment perhaps on a few. But we get some impression of persons who were beings of praise. Now, brother uses that expression in the book, The God-Man Living, about a man of prayer. Not only a man, a person who prays, but a man of prayer. Well, we may not yet be at the stage where we can testify, I am a person who praises. Eventually, the Lord wants us to be a man of praise. Something has been wrought into my being that as I breathe, as I tell the Lord I love Him, as I consecrate each day to Him afresh, as I turn my heart to Him every morning, once again, just effortlessly, Lord, I praise You simply because You are. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to give me anything. I just praise You because You are You. So here are some of the verses. O Jehovah my God, I will praise you forever. I think it's good when we have the opportunity. Praise, read the word. And praise, read it in faith. Believe this will be your future. Don't believe in your past. Don't believe in your weakness. Believe, O Jehovah, my God, I will praise you forever. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. I don't believe this is like a vow. It's almost like, well, it's a determination. But the psalmist really did this every day. I wonder what would it be like if 366 days from now, because we get an extra one, right? If we can just say, Lord, I praise you for the fact that every day this year, I praise you at least a little. I believe he'll be happy and we'll be happy. Okay, three. Okay, now we're advancing. Okay, don't look at yourself. Don't be subjective. Take in the word. Devour it. Let it reproduce itself in you. I will bless Jehovah at all times. I will bless Jehovah when the flight to New Delhi is delayed for 3 hours. I will bless the Lord when they close the 105 freeway without asking my permission. I will praise the Lord when my car won't start. I will praise the Lord when my wife is in a mysterious mood. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will be continually in my mouth. He doesn't say heart. In my mouth. Four, I will praise Jehovah while I live. I will sing psalms to my God while I yet have being. Isn't this a wonderful way to finish one's course? Here is an elderly saint. Everyone knows there will be no miracle. And no one wants extraordinary medical intervention. It's time. And this one is weak. No energy, little breath. But with her last breath, you hear, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The last words, how marvelous. Like Stephen. You just have a little being left. You never. But with the breath that remains, you say, hallelujah. My brother Jack Pakula, he was on the gurney. They're wheeling him for some serious procedure. He's praising the Lord there while he has being. Five, then they believed his words, they sang his praise. So exercise to believe, and praise will come forth. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips praise you. Lord, there's something better to me than my soul life itself. It is your loving kindness, your sweetness, your tender love, your affectionate care. You're my beloved. Your loving kindness is sweeter to me than life itself. So my lips will praise you. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the peoples will praise you forever and ever. I think we brothers who serve in the training, we got a fresh commission here. that we like to give ourselves to the Lord, that we will cause the Lord's name to be remembered in this generation. And they will praise you forever and ever. This is our bequest. Forever and ever, praise. Amen. So whenever you think of Rick Scatterday, you say, praise the Lord. Amen. Whenever you think of Andrew Yu, you hear, I shall return. Hallelujah. Amen. If we are a being of praise, we will beget praise. Great is Jehovah, and much to be praised in the city of our God, in His holy mountain. Praise befits you, O God, in Zion. Lord, in Zion there's something that perfectly matches you. That's our praise. You consider all over the earth tonight how the Lord's name is cursed, is blasphemed, it's used in vain. But in Zion, there is something that just matches Him. Lord, this is our invitation. Come visit us in Zion, and we'll praise You with our whole being. Amen. That the name of Jehovah may be declared in Zion, and His praise in Jerusalem. Now, this next one is among my personal favorites. Let me read it all and then release a little. Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment among the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor is for all His faithful ones. This is prayer in warfare, and this is prayer as we are using the two-edged sword, are judging the enemy, and are binding him. Now, here we go. Earlier this week, I won't tell you from where, I won't tell you how, a direct attack came from the enemy against this training, trying to stop all the speaking. Now tonight, with praise in my mouth, I bind the spirit behind that attack. Amen. Satan, you were defeated. Amen. We use the sword of the Spirit to cut you to pieces. Amen. 12 messages. Amen. Piercing you. Amen. Cutting you. Amen. While you're suffering, we're saying hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ is victor. Who has this honor? Just co-workers? Just those who are not young? Those who have been in the Lord's recovery for 50 years? This honor all the saints have. You have the right in the victory of Christ to praise the Lord as you are skewering the enemy. Don't be afraid of it. Yes. Cut him. Cut him. Bind him. Kill him. Smash him. Stomp on him. Throw him out. Bind him. He's defeated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan, you're a loser. You're the biggest loser in the universe. We are closer to the kingdom coming. We are closer to the Lord's coming than 1 year ago. We will execute upon the enemy the judgment written. Our Lord destroyed the devil on the cross. He did the work. We are wearing soft armor. And our responsibility is to execute the judgment pronounced on Him by the Son of Man on the cross. And the time is coming when the Lord returns with His mighty ones, and we will go to country after country and say, get out of here. The Lord has given me this territory as a co-king. And I bind you while I'm praising the Lord. Doesn't that deserve another hallelujah? Oh, but the best is this one. You are holy. You who sit enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Lord, you're on the throne in the heavens. When you come, you will sit on your throne in Jerusalem. And we praise you that you have entered into God's being and sat down there, and you are the King with all authority in heaven and on earth. But we, your lovers and seekers, we would like to end this year by enthroning you on our praise. Amen. The more we praise Him, the more His throne is here. We will bring in the kingdom by our praising. That's just a little tour of what's in the Psalms, and we're not quite at the consummate praise yet. We're getting there now. The praise of Jehovah in Psalms 103 to 106 issues in hallelujahs beginning in 104:35, because the earth has been fully recovered by God and brought under the reign of Christ in His kingdom. And in Romans 8:19-21, if you read it, this will be a great moment for the earth, because the whole creation is travailing and expecting. And the accurate translation of this expecting is to be on tiptoe, straining your neck, waiting to see it happen. Are the sons of God ready yet? Is Zion built up yet? Any sign of their coming? Here they come! The glorified sons of God are coming! We're released from corruption, from vanity. No wonder. I believe the birds will make glorious noises. I don't know what fish will do. Do fish have breath? I don't know if they have breath. Dogs, horses, all kinds of things. There's going to be this tremendous response from everything that has breath, because the Lord has come to recover the earth. Psalms 146 through 150, the hallelujah psalms, are the consummate praise. Psalm 146 concerns the praising of Jehovah for His reigning from Zion. Psalm 147 is a praise to Jehovah for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Psalm 148 is a praise to Jehovah for His exalted name and for His transcending majesty. Some of us will touch this year. He's so majestic. His name is transcending. We just want to praise Him. Some of us, I believe, in this year, in our own room, we're going to be dancing. We're going to be leaping. We're going to be beside ourselves to Christ. Every believer should have at least one personal, private moment of ecstatic praise. Where you're fully out of your introspective, conservative, this and that disposition. The straitjacket has been stripped off, and your whole being is dancing and praising the Lord. Just because He's majestic and His name is transcendent. Nothing has changed in your environment. There's no outward sign of any blessing, but you are ecstatic just because He is. Psalm 149 is a praise to Jehovah for His taking pleasure in His people and His adorning of the lowly with salvation. Psalm 150 is on praising Jehovah God. I would like to read that. Then we'll read the points under that. Let us read Psalm 150 for the first time. I'll read it to you. Hallelujah! Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the expanse that manifests His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His vast greatness. Praise Him with the blast of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with the tambourines and with dancing. Praise Him with the stringed instrument and the pipe. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise Jehovah. Hallelujah. Wow. This psalm is the concluding charge to everything that has breath to praise God. It's a commandment. It's a charge. Psalm 150 is not only the conclusion of the Psalms. It is the consummation of the entire Bible, for the Psalms are a miniature of the whole Bible. The consummate praise in Psalm 150 corresponds with the praise at the end of Revelation. And here is part of Revelation 19. I heard, as it were, a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! The salvation and the glory and the power are of our God. And a second time they said, Hallelujah! And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits upon the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came out from the throne saying, Praise our God, all His slaves, and those who fear Him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty thunders, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. One reason for these hallelujahs is that one lady is going and another lady is coming. Babylon the Great has been terminated. The great harlot has been annihilated. The one who shed the blood of the saints. And then you keep reading and we read of another lady. His bride has made herself ready. Wonderful. Now D, and then after D, we need to make a turn, and then I can finish the message in peace before the Lord. This is a summary. The Psalms reveal that the Lord has turned us from the law to Christ, that Christ has brought us to the house, that He is enlarging the house into the city, and that from the city He will gain the earth. Then God's purpose will be fulfilled, and we will all declare. Let's read it together. O Jehovah, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. This could have been an appropriate place to end the training. We end with the consummate praise, with some impression of the development of praise, of the factors of praise, Christ, house, the city, and the earth. And maybe it would quite be quite wonderful if we spent 20 minutes singing, praising. But that is not the Lord's leading in the way to conclude the training. And I believe the Lord impressed me to compose the final section of the outline with something in view. Almost all of us, maybe all of us, can confess. We don't yet live a life of praise. Even it might be rare for us that we're so much in our feeling, in ourselves, so much in our situation. It's just, it may never occur to us. And our Lord, He's not disappointed with us. He understands us. He cares for us. But I believe it's in His heart to say a little, in about 10 minutes now, that would point us in the direction of development. And that this development will be genuine in the way of life. So it will be gradual, largely unnoticeable, but very real. In the church life and in our personal life, we need to offer consummate praise to God. Now we turn to Hebrews, which draws very much from the Psalms. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You just consider, we're still trainees, so we're still being touched. How many Lord's Table meetings did you attend this year? In how many of them did you really praise the Lord? You just came with a spirit of praise. You praised the Lord Himself. You worshiped the Father by praising Him with Christ. This is a matter of development. What would our meeting be like if we didn't have the hymnal? We couldn't quote anything. We could only speak out in the assembly with the firstborn the praise that has been wrought into us. I'm not saying leave your hymnal at home. Unless you've got a smartphone, it's all loaded in there. Right? It's just, the Lord doesn't want us just to have a flash of praise to conclude a wonderful training. And then maybe Memorial Day, we have another moment of praise, and maybe in the summer training. He would like, and it would be a glory to Him, for there to be a praising life developed among us in the church. The assembly here refers to the church, in which the resurrected Christ sings hymns of praise to God the Father. This is the firstborn Son's praising of the Father within the Father's many sons in the church meetings. This section is fresh, even if you're familiar with it. Believe me, it's fresh. When we, the many sons of God, meet as the church and praise the Father, the firstborn Son praises the Father in our praising. He praises within us and with us through our praising. But if we're there in ourself, in our mood, in our feeling, no worship, no praise, no way for the firstborn Son to sing in our singing. Or we may be singing, you know, Father, Thou art ever new, without Thee all is worn. Half-hearted. We need to praise, to sing with our whole being. The church on earth today is one corporate body with the firstborn Son of God. To gain more of the firstborn son, we need to praise the Father. The more we praise the Father, the more we gain the firstborn son. The more we sing, the more we will enjoy the singing in our singing, His singing in our singing. The best way to cooperate with Christ and to have Him work together with us is by our singing praises to Him. Now there's a particular burden in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the speaking and in the last section of this outline. It's based on Hebrews 13:15. Through Him, then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise continually to God. That is the fruit of lips confessing His name. I would encourage you, please don't tell the Lord, "Lord, I consecrate to praise You continually in 2012. One day you'll realize you can't fulfill things like this. It is through Him, we can offer. Now, who is the Him in this verse? The Him here is the complete Christ revealed in the book of Hebrews. That's the Him. And we pass through Him. He is the channel. He is the agent and the means. Do not be unnecessarily disappointed with your inability to offer the sacrifice of praise. What is sweet to the Lord is when praise is a sacrifice. Your whole natural being inclines you in one direction. You have suffered a great loss. You may be in pain. You're in great need. But you realize the Lord is I Am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is my God. He is my Lord. And Lord, in the midst of this situation, through You, I will offer praise as a sacrifice continually. This is a praising person. This is a being of praise. It can only be through Him, because only the Lord Himself is this kind of person. And we need to learn what this is, to do everything through Him, to pass through many things through Him. You know, the overcomers, they sing a song that no one else, they can't learn it. You learn it by going through things as you follow the Lamb wherever He may go. And you may not realize it, but as you're going through the things, both the words and the melody are being composed. And eventually, we'll sing a song the universe has never heard. That new song. When we pass through reproach and suffering, we should continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. This praise is offered by those who are outside the camp. They're outside the city. They're not in the earthly realm. They have left religion. There's no praise like this in religion. It's those who are outside the camp, bearing His reproach, taking the way of the cross. These are the ones who sing and praise in this way. Since in the church life we enjoy the unchanging Christ as grace and follow Him outside religion, we should offer through Him spiritual sacrifices to God. Thinking of that statement of David when he wanted to purchase the threshing floor of Ornan and the offerings. And the man said, "I will give it to my lord the king." He said, "No. I will not offer to the Lord sacrifices which cost me nothing. It's really good. Don't hold back to say, praise the Lord, again and again, praise the Lord. But eventually the Lord will ask, for what? What is the Lord to you? What have you experienced with Him? What have you gone through with Him? And then at times, there'll be the sacrifice. Someone will pray in the worship of the Father. Most of us know that one has been suffering very much, but she doesn't testify of her suffering. But praise ascends as a sacrifice. So precious. Please don't be afraid of this. And please don't make up your mind to be a hero and promise to do this. It's only possible through Him. In the church, we should offer up through Christ the sacrifice of praise to God continually. In the church, we and He praise the Father together in the mingled spirit. He, as the life-giving Spirit, praises the Father in our spirit, and we, by our spirit, praise the Father in His spirit. This is the best and highest sacrifice that we can offer to God through Him. Now, this next section is very precious. Through the Christ, whom we have experienced and enjoyed, we need to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. If you don't enjoy Him or experience Him, you can still say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But there's no for what. But when you experience Him and enjoy Him, there is substance to your praise. And you can praise the Father for what Christ has been to you in this particular situation. Then we have all these verses from Hebrews, but I would like to suggest something particular. In Hebrews 10, we have a section that reveals that Christ came to replace all the sacrifices and offerings with Himself, to be the reality. And I would like to suggest that many of us consider beginning by learning to experience and enjoy and praise Christ as the offerings. I recommend this book, Experiencing Christ as the Offerings for the Church Life. Now, I'm a learner, but I can praise like this, and I do praise like this. O, my sin offering, I praise You. Trespass offering, one who bore all my sins, I praise You. I praise You, burnt offering. I praise You, meal offering, with Your divinely enriched humanity. Peace, I praise You. Peacemaker, I praise You. Peace offering, I praise You. I praise You, my wave offering. I'm with You, waving in resurrection. Praise You, my heave offering. Praise You, vine. Praise You, vine. Praise You, drink offering. We have to begin somewhere. I'd like to testify to you at the end how good it is to begin the day by solving all of your problems with the all-inclusive Christ as the offerings. I'm still a flesh of sin, but Christ is my sin offering. I have had failures this year. Christ is my trespass offering. My burnt offering. We must finish now. The real praise to the Father comes out of our experience and enjoyment of Christ in our daily life. This is a very pleasing praise to the Father, gladdening and rejoicing His heart. The praises out of our experience and enjoyment of Christ, the spiritual praises about Christ are the best praise to the Father. And eventually, we will be brought to this point. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Jehovah will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, forever and ever. Hallelujah. Lord, we end this training by taking you as our hallelujah.
Amen.
We praise you with our whole being.
Amen.
For what you have given to us, what you have done to us, what you are to us, but even more, that you are.
Amen.
We've never loved you more in our whole life than we do right now.
Amen.
We appreciate you so much.
Amen.
Thank you for shepherding us into the house of God.
Amen.
Thank you, we're becoming the city of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, soon, maybe in our lifetime, the whole earth will turn to you.
Amen.
Because, Lord, you are coming again.
Amen.
So we say, Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.